So, third part of this little series, been there, done that, got the t-shirt. You remember we started with got the t-shirt. Then we did done that. So tonight we're going to go to been there. Question. Let me ask you a question. What does God do when his children are weak? When we fail? When we struggle with courage? When we struggle to be faithful? What does God do? I can give you a short answer, but let me give you the long answer. Otherwise, this is the shortest sermon you're ever going to hear. I'm going to take you to John chapter 6, verses 1 to 13. And this is a story that you know well. It's the story of the loaves and the fish that Jesus multiplies. It's one of the few miracle stories that's recorded in all four of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I'm going to read the version from John. But I'm also going to use Matthew and Mark to explain the story as we go along. So if you got your Bible or your Bible app, get that to John chapter 6, verses 1 to 13. Sometime after this, and I'll explain that a little later, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, that is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the signs he had performed by healing the sick. Then Jesus went up on a mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover festival was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, "It would take more than a half year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite." Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "Here's a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish, but how far will they go among so many?" And Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place, and they sat down. About 5,000 men were there, so that's not counting the women and the children, right? Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over, let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. So let me fill in the story a little bit from Mark and from Matthew. If we read the story in Matthew chapter 14 and we start reading at verse 13 where the story starts, we'll actually find that this day started with really bad news for Jesus when the disciples of John the Baptizer came to Jesus and told him that Herod had just beheaded John the Baptizer, killed him. Remember, was a relative of Jesus. A little later that day, according to Mark chapter 6, which tells the same story, the disciples came back from that first missionary trip that Jesus had sent them on to teach them of what they would be doing. But when they came, they didn't come alone. Mark says they came with a huge crowd of people. And then Mark tells us, because of all these people that came, Jesus puts the disciples in the boat, and they set off for Bethsaida on the other side of the Sea of Galilee. I'm sure just to get away a little bit. But the people, seeing where they were going, ran around the shore and got to Bethsaida first. So when Jesus and the disciples got there with the boat, they got out, they already had 5,000 plus people waiting for them. Now, just for a second, think about this. Could it be that Jesus got in the boat because perhaps he just wanted a little time alone so that he could mourn the loss of a friend, of a relative, of John the Baptizer? Could it be that maybe Jesus wanted a little time alone with the disciples so that they could debrief on what they had seen, what they had experienced, the positives, the stuff that they messed up? Could it be that maybe Jesus just needed a little bit of a break? But here they are, all these people. What does Jesus do? Typical Jesus sets all of himself aside and puts them first. He sits down and starts teaching him. Here's the thing. That's what Jesus does. What do the disciples do? And can we just use disciples and the word us as interchangeable words? What do the disciples do? What do we do? So they sit, Jesus teaches, then realizes that these people might be a little hungry because it's been a long day. And then John says in verse 5, Jesus talks to Philip. Now, the reason Jesus talks to Philip and asks him this question is because Philip resided in Bethsaida. He lived there. He says, Philip, I get an idea. These people are hungry, and we're going to have to feed them. They've been here a whole long time. Could you suggest the best place that we could go and go buy some bread so that we can at least feed these people? Now, remember, Philip, with all the other disciples, had just come back from this wonderful missionary trip where they experienced the miracles that God did through them, how they healed people, how devils were driven out by them, how God used them as amazing instruments. So the first expectation that we would have about Philip was Philip jumping this high with excitement. Yes, Jesus, I know. I know that God can use this moment and God can do a miracle in this moment. I'm so ready for this, filled with faith. Here's the thing. That's not what happens, right? See what Philip answers? Verse 7, he says, Lord, I get what you're saying, but can I just tell you something? Did you realize, did you do the calculation of how much it would cost for us to buy even just one piece of bread for all these people? We would have to work months and months and months and months on end just to be able to do that. Sees a problem, doesn't see a solution. He's weak. He's failing. His faith has let him down. See, here's the thing. Philip can give you all the stats of how many people and how many loaves you would need, but he has no idea how to get an answer to that. Philip can do all the calculations, but he doesn't know what to do after he'd done the calculations. Philip has no faith and just struggles. What does God do when his children are weak and they fail? But he's not the only one. Because if we look at the other disciples, they don't do much better than Philip. Mark tells us that the disciples come to Jesus and say, Jesus, it's been a long time. People are tired. It's getting dark. It's getting late. Maybe it's time for us to send them home so that they can get home before it's dark. And at least before dark, they can stop at the little villages on the way back home and buy something to eat so that at least they'll have something for their dinner this evening. And I'm thinking, guys, you've just come back from this missionary trip. You've been there. You've done that. You've seen the miracles. You know what God can do. Wouldn't it be better for you to say, Jesus, We know what God can do. And although we don't have anything, and although we are weak, we know that God could take care. What do you want us to do so that God can take care of these people? Come on, guys. You've been there. Don't you get it? See, they only see the problem. They don't see a solution. Someone wrote somewhere, it said, if faith was a candle, the disciples were completely in the dark. The only one that knows a little something is Andrew. They don't get that in this moment, if you ask, if you stand right there, as Philip did, standing right next to the answer to prayer, and he doesn't even pray. But there could be a miracle that could happen. They don't remember that they're standing there next to the bread of life, next to the light of the world, next to the Son of God. They're so just looking at themselves and seeing, we don't have anything. We have nothing. What can we do? We are weak. As I said, the only one that comes close is Andrew. When Andrew says, there's a little guy here and he has 5 barley loaves and he has 2 fish. But I mean, that's kind of worth nothing, right? And again, there's something that God could use, but they fail to see that. They're not strong enough. Their faith is letting them down. And this is the early church. Philip is cynical. Andrew doubts. And the rest of them, they're just plain negative. What does God do when he's children, his people are weak when they fail, when they've lost their courage, when they struggle in their faith? Answer is in verse 11 of John 6. Jesus says, bring the loaves and bring the fish. Then verse 11 says, Jesus took the bread, looked up to God, and he gave thanks for the bread and distributed that amongst the people. And then he did exactly the same with the fish. See, here's the thing. When the disciples don't pray, Jesus prays. When the disciples don't see God in the smallest of small things, Jesus seeks God. When the disciples are weak, Jesus is strong. When the disciples have no faith, Jesus is faithful and he thanks God. Thanks God for what? For the pandemonium of the day, for the death of John the Baptizer, for the struggle, for all these people? No, no, no. He thanks God for the smallest of small things, for 5 loaves and 2 fish. Which for the disciples was 5 loaves and 2 fish, and what can you do with that? But in the hands of God, Jesus does not see the dark clouds. Jesus sees that ray of hope, which is God, that can change everything. But then he does the second thing that is so important. And we read this in Matthew. Matthew says it really clearly when he says, after Jesus had given thanks and he had broken the bread, he gave it to the disciples to go and distribute amongst the people. Question was, what does God do when we fail, when we've lost our courage, when we have no faith, when we are weak? Jesus doesn't turn his back on them. Jesus does not chase them away. Jesus employs them and puts them to work. He says, come. Come work with me. Let me teach you. And in that moment, they get to distribute bread that they did not trust could happen. In that moment, they could distribute an answer to prayer that they did not pray. Because you see, here's the thing, my friends. God is not weak when we are weak. God's faithfulness does not depend on my faithfulness. When we've lost our courage, God has not lost His courage. Because the amazing thing is this. God gives His gifts not because of the good things that we do and because we're so amazing and we're so strong and He does the miracles to us because of how amazing we are. God gives His gifts as gifts of grace also to the weak and those who fail and those who lack and those who struggle with their faith. That's the amazing God that we serve. And I think many of us can say those words. Yep. Been there where I only saw the loaves and the fish and too many. Because isn't it true? When we look at this world, there are more mouths to feed than bread and fish to give. There are more broken people than healers. There are more ears that need to hear the gospel than those that are prepared to go and speak the gospel. So what do? When we are weak, we don't give up. We look up. We don't give up. We trust the one who could take 5 loaves and 2 fish. We don't give up. We believe in the one who said, when you are weak, my strength will be fulfilled in you. So go, and in your weakness, allow God to use you. Amen. Pray with me. Thank you, Father God, for sending your Son into this world to show us how your hands and feet work, to teach us about faith, also faith in those moments when it seems impossible. How can you feed more than 5,000 people with 5 little loaves and 2 little fish? Well, we can't. But Lord, you can. Been there, done that. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that your faithfulness goes beyond our faithfulness. Thank you that when we are weak, you are strong and your strength is perfect when our strength is gone. You, Lord, carry us when we can't carry on. Because raised in your power, the weak, us, we become strong. In Jesus, we become strong, and we thank you, Lord Jesus, as we pray in your name. Amen.